Praise the Lord. Bless you, Shannon. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The last verse in that chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 13:13. Page 942, if your Bible's like mine. I want to talk for a little while this morning about three things. That won't work by themselves. None of these three things will work by themselves. They have to be in conjunction with the other two things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Brother Lloyd, would you bless the message, please?
Father, once again, God, we come to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word. God, we ask you right now, the Lord, Brother Sam, God, is here.
Granted, God.
And God, most of all, we hear and understand what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. And we give you the praise and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. I want you to see the connection between these two, three, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these, I know the Bible says charity. A lot of times preachers in churches will forsake everything else and say you got to love everybody. Love, love, love. You know, love is the greatest thing, but love has got to be coupled with faith and hope. Now abideth these three. The word abideth, it's a verb. It means to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy, to continue, to dwell, to endure, be present. One of the keys to existence in this life is coexistence.
Amen.
Most things cannot stand independent and all by themselves. They have to be dependent on something else. Remember last week that we had that little chalkboard up here and we started out with a line and talked about how simple that was. Matter of fact, you could break it down even more simple than that. We could have started out with a dot or a point. Then we could have made another point. You know, a lot of people expect things to be so simple. And if it gets the least bit complicated, it must not be of God because it's supposed to be simple. Well, listen to me, folks. Life is more complicated than just a dot here and a dot there.
Amen.
And we could put a dot here and a dot there and we could draw a line between them. We'd have a line. That would, we talked last time about that being a dimension. It has length. The line has length. Then we said, why couldn't we improve on this and add breadth to it? We were talking about the love of God that has length, breadth, depth, and height. Why couldn't we make a square out of that line and we could have length and width? And then, of course, I couldn't do it. I had to get Shannon to do it. Why couldn't we overlay that square with another square and put three or four more lines in it and make a box? And the further we got, the more interesting the picture got.
Amen.
And a lot of times people forsake things because they want it to be so simple. Life is not simple.
Amen.
Life is made up of moving parts, of different things that are related together that have to be put together. And God didn't put you and I on the planet and think that we're so dumb and so ignorant that He can't trust us to do anything but just draw a little dot here and a little line there. I believe with all my heart that it's time for people to grow up.
Amen.
And quit being satisfied with little boy doctrines. You know, Paul talked about being on the milk as opposed to being on the meat. And here we have a relationship between faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth these three. These three not only exist individually, they exist and operate corporately.
Amen.
Have you ever known anybody that didn't have any trouble getting along with people as long as he stayed away from them? I told you about praying one time, I was aggravated with the church, not this one, but when I was pastoring somewhere else. I said, "Lord, I don't mind pastoring at all if it wasn't for the people." if you just eliminate them from the picture. But life is about relationships.
Amen.
Our relationship with God is about a relationship.
Amen.
And we are a part of a family if we're children of God. And we have to learn how to relate to one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm sure there's times when you would like to tell me off. There's times when my wife would like to tell me off. Sometimes she does. Tells me how the cow eats the cabbage. But we can't go through life blowing up at each other all the time. We got to learn to relate.
Amen.
And there are three things that are very important: faith, hope, and charity. And I don't want to leave any of them out, but I want to kind of focus on maybe the one in the middle this morning. That's one of my favorite ones, is hope. Now, I've said this several times, and I don't know if anybody's got on the same wavelength that I'm on yet with this. But he said, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity." In my mind, if the greatest of these is charity, then the next greatest to charity is the one next to charity, which would be hope. And the one that's less great than hope would be faith. And a lot of people think that are hung up on faith. They think that's the most important thing. But the Bible said that faith worketh by love. And we need these three. Now by these three: faith, hope, and charity. What is faith? I looked it up in Webster. Webster said it's a persuasion, a credence, an assurance, a belief. In the Greek, faith means to convince by argument. To convince by argument. That makes a lot of sense if you think about it. How do you get faith?
It comes by hearing by the Word of God.
Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have a certain level of faith today because we've been convinced by the argument of the Word of God. When I first got saved, I didn't have faith for tithing. I didn't have faith for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But as I studied the Scripture and had experiences with God, I was convinced by argument that these things were sound principles that every believer ought to participate in.
Amen.
And I was convinced by argument. I like that. Well, I just believe it because grandma believed it. Or mama believed it. That's not faith. I told you about the preacher that was talking to this guy, and he said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Well, sure, I'm a Methodist." And he said, "Why are you a Methodist?" And he said, "Well, because my mama was a Methodist, her mama was a Methodist, and her mama was a Methodist." He said, "What if your great-grandma had been an idiot?" That's not faith if you just believe like grandma believed.
Amen.
You've got to be convinced by the argument made in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word.
Amen.
Well, but Brother Sam, I have faith because that's what the Free Will Baptists believe, or the Pentecostals believe, or the Baptists believe. That's not faith. That's hearsay. Do you know it's not permissible in court? Hearsay. Somebody said, well, I heard somebody say that they thought somebody said that somebody thought they said they said. Faith is something that we're convinced of by argument, found in the Word of God. You cannot stand on supposition. You cannot stand on somebody else's doctrine. You cannot withstand the trials of life with a supposition that's not been proven. Praise the Lord. You know what the art of faith is? Somebody said it this way. The art of faith is holding on to things your reason has once accepted as true in spite of your changing moods and circumstances. Did you ever have faith for something or believe something that we were convinced by argument found in the Word of God? Then your mood changed or the circumstances changed? And all of a sudden you lost your faith, or your faith became shipwrecked because of circumstances. Amen. Faith is important. It's holding on to things your reason has once accepted as true in spite of the changing moods and circumstances. Praise the Lord. There are certain things I believe in the Bible. I've accepted as faith, the foundation of my faith. And I don't care what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says or what anybody else does or don't do. I've been convinced by argument found in the Word of God that those things are true according to God's Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And folks, faith is important. We need to have some conviction in our lives.
Amen.
Well, I'm always running on to people that don't know, is this right or is that wrong? And they always, I've had them ask me, said, well, what do you think about it, preacher? Is this right? Is it wrong to do that? And I always say, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? And most of the time they'll answer, well, my conscience doesn't bother me. Everybody else is doing it.
Amen.
Don't get your convictions out of your conscience. The Bible said that your conscience can be seared as with a hot iron. Your conscience can be put into a coma. Just because it's all right with your conscience doesn't mean that it's all right.
Amen.
Faith is based on the Word of God. What does God say about it? What does the Word say about it? Praise the Lord. Well, they did me this way, and that's why I did them that way. That's not faith. That's flesh.
Amen.
That's what faith is, a persuasion. To be convinced by argument. Have you ever had the Word of God argue with you? What'd you do about it? A lot of Christians running around today struggling with the devil when they ought to be wrestling with God.
Amen.
There's some issues in people's lives that are unresolved. That every time them and God start to butt heads over it or have a tug of war about it, they're so easily distracted. Sometimes you got to fight through.
Amen.
You've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life is what Paul said. Praise the Lord. Convinced by argument. I told Sherry every time I see Perry Mason or that old Matlock, that lawyer on TV, I said, boy, I'd like to have been a lawyer. I think of being a preacher sometimes is pretty close to it, only you don't get paid as much. Have to convince people all the time by argument. Two things I found out that I do in the ministry. It's convinced saved people to get lost people to get saved and saved people to act saved.
Amen.
And man, it's tough when you got to try to convince a saved person that they are saved. You know, some of them are saved but don't know it. If they'd notify their face and they'd smile once in a while. Now by these three, faith, hope, and I was going to preach on hope, and I'm getting there. What is hope? It means to anticipate. And I like this. Webster says, usually with pleasure. There's no such thing as negative hope. Is there? Hope's always positive. Expectation, usually, I'm going to say always with pleasure. Expectation or confidence. Somebody said it this way, hope is a well-grounded, well-founded expectation for the future. In this new year, folks, we not only need faith, we need hope. We need a well-grounded, well-founded expectation for the future. What do you expect tomorrow to be like? Or next month, or next year, or 10 years from now? Oh, yeah, well, America's going to fall off the cliff, and the morality is the cancer of sin is going to destroy our society. Boy, you're just really... Anticipating? Are you anticipating that with pleasure? That ain't hope. Expectation or confidence? To anticipate, usually with pleasure. If you can get a little hope in your heart, in your soul this year, you'll have a victorious year in the Lord.
Amen.
Job said it this way in Job 14, there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. Everybody suffers setbacks and losses in life. And it's not how many losses you incur in life, it's how you respond to those losses and setbacks. Somebody said it's not how you act that counts, it's how you react. Job said if a tree be cut down, there's still hope. When we first bought our place in 98 over there, there's a big old bodark tree right in the way. And that thing, three big men couldn't reach around it. And the wind might have split it or something. Anyway, I had to cut it down. And it took me a while. And I cut up all the limbs and piled it on top of the stump. Cut the stump low as I could and piled all the stuff up on the stump. And I burnt that thing for days. Throw two or three tires on it to keep it going. And I thought, I'm done with that tree. I don't have to mess with that no more. That was in the fall time, and I come back in the spring, and these little old things are just shooting out everywhere. I thought, that tree ain't got sense enough to die when it's supposed to. But the tree had hope.
Amen.
I believe that hope is a natural resource.
Amen.
For every believer and everybody. And folks, you need to let hope flourish in your heart. You need to realize just because you've been cut down or run over by a bulldozer, that's not the end of it.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than y'all are amening. Proverbs 13 said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I know what it is to have your hopes dashed. I know what it is to be disappointed. But I also know what it is to have your dream resurrected by the power of God. And when you think not, here it comes.
Amen.
How many times have we talked to young people, some of our children and grandchildren, that were distraught? I mean, Sherry Vaughn's been there. We're distraught because they got married and want a child so bad. And they didn't have one yet. And I remember the little grandmas patting the little would-be mother on the back of the hand say, honey, when you least expect it. You know, just live your life when you least expect it. Sure enough, here she comes. Hope. It's a natural force.
Amen.
That we need to operate in our lives. The Bible in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, talking about Abraham, when God promised him a son when he was in his 90s and 100, close to 100 years old, the Bible said, who against hope believed in hope.
Amen.
When the circumstances said no, he had hope.
Amen.
had a 98-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man. And when the angel came to the 98-year-old woman and said, "You're going to conceive and bear a child," she said, "Ha, ha, ha." And she gave birth to a child by the name of Isaac, and his name literally means laughter. That's what hope will do. You'll like this. In Romans chapter 5, it says, tribulation, you know, the word tribulation literally means pressure. Pressure. Tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Pressure or tribulation works experience, and experience hope.
Amen.
And hope maketh not ashamed. Tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope. Now listen, some of you old heads are to have more hope than the young heads.
Amen.
Because you've got more experience. It's a sad state of affairs when the elders in the church, I'm talking about the older generation, is so lifeless, so devoid of hope, when we've got a wealth of experience. We've seen God do the impossible. We've seen things resurrected from the dead. We've seen God respond to prayer. We've seen God shake an old dead-headed church to life and send revival. If you've got any kind of experience, it ought to have cultivated some hope somewhere in your heart. Praise the Lord. A lot of times the older heads are waiting for the young ones that ain't got no experience to provide a spark and get something going. Glory to God. I'm still preaching better than y'all are amening. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation. Patient in pressure. You know what patience is? The ability to wait calmly. Patient under pressure. Did you know pressure is essential?
Amen.
For almost anything? I told you about going to the hospital, and they had a labor room. And in between the labor room and the delivery room, they'd put them in the labor room until they got to a certain stage. Then it would take them through the double doors into the delivery room when it got real close to time. And there was a sign. Of course, they didn't mean it for that. But when you went through there, the sign on that metal plate on the door said, "Push." That's what the pressure's for.
Amen.
It's to give you the ability to push.
Amen.
Pressure's important. Well, Brother Sam, I wish the devil quit attacking our church. I wish the devil quit attacking our family. What if it is the natural process going on?
Amen.
What, heaven forbid, if it's the hand of God
Amen.
That's bringing pressure to bear? You know, they tell me that you can take an old lump of coal, if you can put enough pressure on it, you can squeeze it and it'll turn into a diamond.
Amen.
Matter of fact, some of you old heads remember Superman? He did that very thing. He took a lump of coal and squeezed it, turned it into a diamond. Praise the Lord. Somebody wrote a song one time. So I'm just an old lump of coal. One of these days I'll be a diamond. Well, you won't be one without some pressure. Without some tribulation. You can't stand the pressure without some hope.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 15 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." The 13th verse in Romans 15 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. "For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope and should be partaker of this hope. What would you think about a farmer that sowed his seed every year, saying, well, it ain't going to come up, but I'm going to throw it. I know it ain't going to come up. I've done spent $2,000 worth of diesel getting the land plowed, and now I'm running this cedar over here, but it ain't going to do a bit of good. Some people leave it living that way. There used to be a picture somewhere, and it had a scripture verse under it. And the scripture verse was in either, I think it was in Psalms. It said, those that go sow weeping will come again in laughter, rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. And had that verse, those that weeping, how does it go?
It says, those that go sowing. Sow weeping. Weeping. Joy in the morning, bringing the
sheep. Anyway, what the gist of it was that if you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. And I had a picture of this farmer with a bag of seed going out through the plowed ground, broadcasting the seeds, and coming along behind him was his little wife, just crying in her apron and begging him. She was begging him not to sow the seed. And the reason she was begging him not to sow the seed, that's all they had to eat. But he knew that if you didn't sow the seed, one of these days you'd run out of something to eat. You'd have to sow. Folks, we've got to have hope. We've got to sow in hope. We've got to thresh in hope.
Amen.
Live your lives in hope.
Amen.
I used to work for a guy years ago when I was a young man, and when things would get tough, he said, now we've got to sit real still. Let's just sit real still. Till we get through this, let's just sit real still. And he'd starve to death and starve everybody connected with him to death. Life is about sowing.
Amen.
And hoeing.
Amen.
You ain't going to have nothing to hoe if you don't sow something. Somebody said one time, there's two sides to farming, man's side and God's side. Man's side is sowing and hoeing, and God's side is raining and shining. But it don't do any good for God to rain and shine if you don't sow something.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible even talks about somebody that had a bag that they put the resources in, and that bag had a hole in it. Imagine that. We need hope. To anticipate with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. Zechariah chapter 9, sometimes look at the 12th verse. It talks about people that were prisoners of hope. Can I stand before you this morning declaring to you that I am captivated by hope? I am a prisoner of hope. My glass is not half empty, my glass is half full. We've not been, Midway Church has best days are not behind her. Her best days are before her.
Amen.
We need to be captivated by hope. And he said, talked about prisoners of hope. Now, what does hope have to do with? What dimension? Past, present, or future? Future, okay. Did you know that the human being is a complex creature? That we have the ability to live in three dimensions at the same time.
Amen.
We can live in the past, the present, and the future. Have you ever run onto anybody that was hung up in the past that couldn't get out of 1960-something?
Amen.
And were captivated by that point in a historical point in their life, and they never learned how to get free of it. I run on to people that were still in divorce court and never got over it. And they're not prisoners of hope. They're prisoners of the past.
Amen.
And let's don't be captivated by the past or be prisoners of the present. Have you ever run on to somebody that couldn't enjoy their life because of the circumstances?
Amen.
Can I tell you that everything's never going to line up exactly right?
Amen.
If there ever was a time when things would have lined up in our life, looks like it would have been when all them planets got lined up. If you believe in just straight line philosophy, well, now, Brother Sam, I just can't really serve God because, you know, my kids and my grandkids and my job and all the responsibility I have and, you know, half my family's sick and the other half's retarded. You're captivated. You're discouraged. You can't live your life because you're either captivated by the past or apprehensive about the present.
Amen.
Somebody said one time that a lot of people are crucified between two thieves. Regret for yesterday and fear of tomorrow. And are not able to live today. We need to be prisoners of hope, not prisoners of the past or present circumstances. Circumstances will change.
Amen.
If you live another day or another week or another month or another year, and if you'll apply yourself to the problems that are in your life, they're subject to change. And they will change. If you'll apply the principles and if you'll be hopeful. Notice a while ago when we talked about in one of those verses the connection between hope and experience. Tribulation worketh experience. Experience hope. Let me give you an illustration of that. I had a fishing buddy, passed away a few years ago. He was a number one. He'd catch fish. His wife said it like this, he'd catch fish when nobody else couldn't. Said, if anybody catches fish, he will. That's what she said. He said, come go fishing with me. Said, the blue cats over there on the mouth of the Washita are just really biting. I said, okay. So we got in his little boat. We went out there and was in the edge of where the Washita come into the lake. He said, now see them logs right over there? There's a big old log against the bank. He said, now throw right over there within about 3 foot of that log. And I looked at his depth finder, and where we was at was like 3 or 4 foot. And I said, Jerry, that can't be but 12 or 14 inches deep. I didn't have any confidence. I was wanting to fish in that deeper water where we were anchored. And he said, it's deep enough to cover a pretty good sized fish. I thought, well, maybe he knows what he's talking about. So I chunked out there. And it was, I mean, just a little while, a big old 6 or 8 pound blue cat. And the water was so shallow that when he grabbed that bait, I thought it was a swordfish. He jumped plumb out of the water. And every time we'd catch one over there in that shallow water against that log, we caught several of them, he'd jump plumb out of the water. I didn't have any hopes of catching a fish. And I wouldn't have thrown over there if that man hadn't had the experience.
Amen.
Listen to me, folks. Have hope. A well-grounded, well-founded expectation for the future. Quit saying, my kids don't do this, my kids are not doing that. And start speaking faith and hope.
Amen.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You need to set the thermostat. Quit reading the thermometer. Praise the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing people talking about the tug of war between the Democrats and Republicans.
Amen.
That's just what idiots do. They have tugs of war with each other. Yeah, but Brother Sam, aren't you concerned about the direction our nation is headed? Yeah, we're headed down a dead-end road. Sooner or later, we're going to get to the end of it.
Amen.
And we're going to have to turn around and do what we're supposed to do. But I have hope.
Amen.
That they'll come to their senses.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what I'd do without hope. I'd just be a mess. Well, Brother Sam, that's just, you know, you're just optimistic. That's just your personality. I kind of think it's God's personality.
Amen.
And I'm trying to be an imitator of God as a dear child. like the scripture says.
Amen.
I have hope for the future. Praise the Lord. Amen. The only one way you get me to hush, and that's stand up. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who is our hope, who is our anchor, has entered into the veil and paid the price of redemption for us. We thank you, God, for that blessed hope. Lord, we pray this morning for our children and grandchildren, God, that they might be saved. We pray this morning for all the hosts, God, that are sick and afflicted, that need your healing touch this morning. God, we ask you, Lord, to touch them and heal them. We ask you, God, this morning to heal our nation, God, of our arrogance and ignorance. And God, that we might have a revival, God, that return this nation back to the principles of Christianity. We ask you now, God, to have your way in our lives, in our homes, in our church. And God, let us be a people of hope, God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody need prayer this morning? All right. All right. Anybody else? Unspoken? Okay. If you want to help us pray, come on up. Come on up. Press on in here. Amen. Heavenly Father, we anoint our brother this morning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God, we pray, Lord, for spiritual strength and wisdom. God, we pray for physical blessing, God, upon our brother. We pray, God, that you'd bless his family. God, for the things and the areas that the devil has crept in and is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. In Jesus' name, God, we lift up a standard against him. And we have hope, God, that these situations will be remedied, God, as his children and grandchildren turn to Christ. We ask you now, God, if there be anybody else in this circle, God, that's praying today, God, that needs a touch, Lord, in their body, their mind, or their family, God, that you'd grant that. Lord, I do pray for my children today. God, that you would bless them and save them. God, I pray for my grandchildren that this would be a year, God, when they'd be converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, God, for the other families and children and grandchildren. God, they're our most precious possession, God. And we ask you, Lord, to save them. God, we ask also for revival, God, in our church. Give us grace, Lord, to love one another and let Jesus be real. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for that hope and that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay. Kimmy, I want to anoint you and we'll pray for Carlene. Heavenly Father, we bow this morning. God, we pray for Carlene. We ask, God, that you touch her body. God, that you raise her up off the bed of affliction, restore her health. And God, give her grace and hope and faith and love in her heart. And Lord, while we're praying, we lift up Pop today. We pray, God, that you'd open the door. God, just give him strength, Lord, to recover his life from the snare of the devil. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Y'all come pray for me. Thank you, God. Father, we love you this morning, God. We praise you and thank you for your mercy. Yes, God, we receive it today, God. Have your way, God. Yes, God. Grant it, God. Grant it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's our hope, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
That our children and grandchildren will follow you, Father God. That will look to you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Ask you to bless him. Ask you, Father God, to give him a fresh anointing.
Thank you, Lord. Grant it, God.
Thank you.
Bless his home and all that pertains to him.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's just, anybody else? We'll get them all right now.
Community.
Yeah, we got several that are sick.
I'm having a lot of trouble with my balance.
Okay, all right. Anybody else?
You said
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we bow again this morning. God, you heard the names called out this morning that are sick and afflicted. God, the trouble with the balance. God, that we ask you, Lord, to minister to these needs, God, as only you can. Lord, we pray that there would be a revival of healing, God, in our midst. God, that you would do miracle after miracle. And God, you'd restore your people, God, to their place. And God, we ask you now to bless this congregation. God, give us grace this day, Lord, to love you and to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I love Jesus and I love my family here.
Amen.
Thank you,
yes. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. All right, church tonight at 6. Come back, bring somebody with you. Let me quote to you the only poem I know that I know of. It's a pretty good one. He drew a circle and shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a fang to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle and took him in. That works. That works. You got to have wit. And I'm kind of hung up on that starting this new year. We need to not only be a praying people, we need to be a thinking people.
Amen.
We need to think about the decisions that we make with our lives. Financial, social, spiritual. When you read the Bible, you need to think about it.
Amen.
Okay? So let's use what little sense God gave us. And Gary said that if you don't use your head, you might as well have four arms or something like that. And don't just use your head for a hat rack. Okay? Let's think about things. Okay? All right. You still love me?
Amen.
I still love you. Tom, would you pray, please?